May the Lord Jesus give you his peace, the very blessed solemnity of St. Francis of Assisi, our great seraphic father. I'd like to begin this morning with his praises of God, giving us an inkling of the interior of St. Francis in the direction of heaven. He writes, "You are the holy Lord God who does wonderful things. You are strong, you are great, you are the Most High. You are the Almighty King, you, Holy Father, King of heaven and earth. You are three in one, the Lord God of gods. You are the good, all good, the highest good, Lord God, living and true. You are love, charity. You are wisdom. You are humility. You are patience. You are beauty. You are meekness. You are security. You are rest. You are gladness and joy. You are our hope. You are justice. You are moderation. You are all our riches to sufficiency. You are beauty. You are meekness. You are the protector. You are our custodian and defender. You are strength. You are refreshment. You are our hope. You are our faith. You are our charity. You are all our sweetness. You are our eternal life. Great and wonderful Lord, Almighty God, merciful Savior." So we have St. Francis as our patron, which means that we've been given a down payment of this charism to follow in his footsteps, the specific seraphic way of sanctity that by God's grace will get us to heaven. And also by God's grace as well, help to rebuild the Church of God and to set aflame the whole world with the fire of love of Jesus through the Immaculate. And it's no small task, to be sure, but we have to keep in mind the words of Sister or Mother Mary Frances of the Poor Clares, that all true renewal begins within. And so we can make something of a bold claim by virtue of the fact that we've been given a vow, the Marian vow, which pauses us in the most radical gift of self of the interior, the Marian vow, even the spiritual goods given over to Jesus in union with Our Lady, that pauses us in a true spiritual poverty. And therefore, that the Franciscans of the Immaculate are in a very privileged place spiritually doesn't mean it's going to happen if we're not faithful. We must be faithful. But a whole army of these guys and these girls that have made such a vow is a very powerful force, a very powerful force to bring souls to heaven and, in fact, to rebuild the Church of God in the 21st century. May it be so, by God's grace. St. Francis espoused poverty, and so we too have, in one sense, with the Marian vow, espoused poverty. He called poverty his mother, his bride, and his lady, and we can look at different dimensions of that. But first, let's go to St. Bonaventure in his major legend, how St. Francis desired poverty, and it was really the great secret of his heart. And he says this, St. Bonaventure writes, "For when the brothers were seeking at a gathering about which of the virtues makes one a greater friend of Christ," sometimes, you know, you get together with the brothers, and the conversation goes one way or another on spiritual things. Here they're all together. "What's the greatest one that makes one a greater friend of Christ?" St. Francis replied, as if opening the secret of his heart, "You know, brothers, that poverty is the special way to salvation, as the stimulus of humility and the root of perfection." You'll see this linkage between, in the writings many, many times, in that opening collect, I believe it's still there, poverty and humility, poverty and humility, poverty and humility. They go together, the two sides of one coin. "Whose fruit is many, but hidden. For this is the hidden treasure of the gospel field. To buy it, everything must be sold. Everything that can be sold must be sold. And in comparison, everything that cannot be sold must be spurned." Can't give this away? Don't worry about it. You know. And so the Marian vow again gets at those interior goods that can be sold, so to speak, can be divested, which are merits and satisfactions. Merits, we want to say, when we give those away in a special way to Our Lady, it's almost as if we can have spiritual self-esteem, or we can have spiritual self-respect in terms of that which we stand upon. I go to the soup kitchen, and I go to the pro-life, I stand and do sidewalk counseling. All that stuff, those good things, are given away. And Our Lady will make quite sure that we don't try to stand on them. And so that's what's given. St. Peter of Alcantara will write how all your defending walls are torn down. And there's a reality there. Because what's the reality is this, is that every saint has fallen up a specific path traced out for him by the Lord or her to become love. To become love. St. Therese, we just had recently, she writes it very explicitly. What does that mean? It means that one is a truly open human person. In other words, able to receive and able to give all. And that gets at this mystery of being communion. And so poverty is very, very important for that to happen. Poverty is mother because Our Lady is our mother. And Our Lady in extreme poverty, absolute radical poverty, at the foot of the cross when there was seemed to be no hope at all, hoped against hope, and behold your son. Poverty is our mother. Poverty is our bride. It is that which we are called to be united to and to become one with. The Church often talks in the language of the theology of marriage of a communion of life and love. Poverty should be our daily state of existence and of love. In other words, that where the two really become one, united, which is a fruitful love. This is a great mystery, which is between Christ and his Church. We could say between Christ and Our Lady, and we could say between Christ and the individual soul as well. And poverty is Our Lady in the language of knightly chivalry. A lady was one for whom you fought. Poverty we must fight for, and not in the tragedies of Franciscan history whereby the sight of holiness and charity is lost, but interiorly, once again, each brother, each sister must fight this fight interiorly. No one's watching if you take the extra tablespoon of sugar. No one's watching. In other words, this is an interior battle for the most part, not to neglect the exterior, but as secondary it comes the fruit of. So fighting for lady poverty interiorly, primarily it's founded on thanksgiving, isn't it? Gratitude, standing, for example, in the Sacrum Commercium, when St. Francis greeted Lady Poverty, and, well, let's sit down, we'll have a banquet. Any guys, you bring anything? Dominoes? Nothing? Thanks be to God, we've got the rock to sit on. Thanks be to God, there's a stream nearby from which we can drink. And thanking God is the basis for a true poverty. On the other hand, we can also say that there's no true poverty without trusting God. And that's where poverty, the rubber hits the road, so to speak. Are you willing to trust that God will provide for you? And without that, I mean, if we insulate ourselves with all kinds of provisions for ourselves, we're not living poverty. And so poverty always has this openness, both with gratitude, what we stand on, no spiritual self-respect, no spiritual self-esteem, thanks be to God, and this openness to God, to the love which is God, and that is what the gift of poverty will do for us. That Sacrum Commercium gives us an inkling also of the contours of poverty in the life of Jesus. It's a beautiful allegory. It was written, I'm not quite sure if it was 100 years after the death of St. Francis or so forth. It's not one of the most primary of sources, but it captures very well the whole Franciscan charism. The Son of the Most High Father, enamored of your beauty. This is Lady Poverty. This, remember, when St. Francis was all his buddies and, you know, they're like, come on, you know, let's go, yucking it up. And he's gone behind them. Come on. And he's different. Like, what's wrong with you? Are you in love? I'm in love with the most beautiful bride that you can imagine. You can't imagine. Her name, and this is what he was talking about, is Lady Poverty. And this is the gift of the Franciscan charism in seed. And so we must acknowledge as mother where we've come from. Given this charism, it's no small gift. As bride, that to which we become one with, we should radiate this. And not in a, incidentally, poverty has nothing to do with squalor. It has nothing to do with things being in disarray. Again, Mother Mary Frances of the Poor Clares will talk about how poverty is supposed to radiate beauty. And beauty is the resplendence of good order. And poverty should have that aspect as well. and how Lady Poverty is Our Lady, from which we must fight interiorly. And so Jesus, who traced this path for us overall, poverty clung, this is what St. Francis' view is perhaps of Lady Poverty, poverty clung most faithfully to Christ as he was spit on, as he was slapped, as he was scourged, as he was crowned with thorns. Only Lady Poverty was faithful to the Christ. We could say, of course, that's Our Lady. Only Our Lady as Lady Poverty. In fact, the Sacrament of Commission says, if she was not present there with you, you would not be so despised. And so the interior poverty, renewal begins within. Let us be thankful, the gift that we've been given in the charism. Let us, with great love, espouse ourselves in this communion of life and love with Lady Poverty. And also let us fight the interior good fight of faith, that we may always choose rightly, following the way of Christ on this narrow road of poverty and humility.